children had been terribly worried about Prosper. They'd all gone out and searched everywhere they could think of, but as the rain came down and the sky turned black, they still could find no trace of Prosper. On Santa Margarita Square, Ida and Hornet met Victor, a soaked and sleeping beau on his back, and they returned home together. "Where can that boy be?" she sighed, as she unlocked her door and stopped, stock still in the doorway. "What is it?" asked Victor. But then he heard it too, voices coming out of the kitchen. He carefully put Beau down in a chair by the door. Hornet looked after them anxiously as they crept along the dark corridor. The kitchen door stood open. Two boys and a tall man sat at the table. The tall man looked like a younger version of the Honorable Dottor Massimo. The smaller of the two boys, who wasn't even as old as Beau, was just about to reach for a half-empty bottle of port when the other boy took it away from him.
"Prosper!" cried Victor. "Damn it! Have you any idea how long we've been looking for you?"
Prosper, his left arm in a sling, pushed his chair back and looked at him, shamefaced.
"How did you get in here?" said Ida.
"Lucia told me where she hides the spare key."
"Well, well," said Victor. "And now you've brought even more people into Ida's house."
He glared suspiciously at the young man.
"I bet your name's Massimo. And what about the little midget there? Aren't there enough children here already?"
The little redhead rose and eyed Victor from head to toe.
"Midget, I am Ernesto Barbarossa. I am an important man in this city, and who the devil, if I may ask, are you?"
Victor was astounded. He opened his mouth, but before he could say anything, the young man pushed the redhead roughly back into his seat. "Shut up, Barbarossa. Or should I say, baby Barbarino. If you don't behave yourself, we'll kick you out. This is Victor, a friend of ours. And the lady next to him is Ida Spavento. This is her house." Victor and Ida exchanged a stunned look. Now there was nothing for it but for Prosper to explain everything. That evening, Hornet put 10 plates on Ida's dining table. The others were all seated and had started on their pasta when the door opened and Ida walked in, holding Barbarossa firmly by the hand.
"From now on," said Ida, "your friend here will not be allowed to move around the house unsupervised. He's been snooping around my darkroom, going through my things and eating my chocolates."
Barbarossa turned as red as a cocktail cherry.
"I was hungry," he snapped. "As soon as the banks open tomorrow morning, I'll withdraw some money and replace your chocolates."
Ida shoved him on the last remaining empty chair and pulled up a stool for herself.
"The little devil's not only stealing chocolates," said Lucia, the housekeeper. "I caught him with our silver spoons, and he had a camera stuffed under his jacket."
Riccio giggled, and Prosper caught him looking almost admiringly at Barbarossa. Scipio leaned back in his chair. "Maybe we should put an advert in the papers. Unbearable little fellow, 5 years old, seeks mother. Or are you planning on looking after yourself, baby Barbarino? I don't think Ida wants to be your foster mum."
"Definitely not," said Ida, popping an olive into her mouth. "But I think for an important man like you, we should be able to find a bed at the Merciful Sisters."
"No, thank you," said Barbarossa. "I'll cope. I have more than enough money in the bank."
Victor and Ida exchanged amused glances. "And you think the bank's just going to hand out Ernesto Barbarossa's money to some 5-year-old? Barbarossa looked across at Beau.
"What are you staring at? Stop it!"
"You know," said Beau, "I think Esther would like the way he talks. Don't you, Prop? And he's even smaller than I am."
"Don't compare yourself to me," barked Barbarossa. "I went to university, and you haven't even been to kindergarten yet."
"And he doesn't spill his food," said Beau. "I think Esther would like that. Don't you, Prop?"
Barbarossa turned to Riccio.
"Who is this Esther these airheads keep talking about?"
"Prosper and Beau's aunt," said Riccio. "She was crazy about Beau, but doesn't want him anymore."
"Very smart of her."
Barbarossa ran his hand through his thick red curls. His new head of hair seemed to console him for the loss of his beard. Scipio looked at him thoughtfully. "You know what? I've just had a crazy idea." Next morning, Victor returned to the Casa Spavento with a newspaper. It had Scipio's picture on the front page, together with an appeal by the police to help the Honorable Dottor Massimo find his missing son. Ida read it,
and sighed. "Do you know where Scipio's staying?" she asked Hornet. Hornet shook her head. "None of us know, not even Prosper." "We should get a message to the Dottore," said Victor, "even if the Thief Lord doesn't want to." "I agree," said Ida. She went with Victor to her bureau, where she wrote on a card. Then she handed it to Victor. "Dear Dottor Massimo," he read, "I'd like you to know that your son is well, has a place to live, and wants for nothing. He does not, however, want to come home. I'm sorry I can't tell you more at the moment. Kind regards, a friend." "Could you drop this into the Massimo's letterbox?" said Ida. Victor put the card in his pocket. "No problem. Is there anything else I can do for you?" "Before you go," said Ida, "could you ask Prosper and Beau to come in? I'm going to phone their aunt, and maybe they should be here when I do." Prosper and Beau were on the campo playing football with Riccio. Ida was sitting next to the telephone when they tumbled into the room. They all squatted down eagerly on the carpet. Prosper and Hornet sat on each side of Beau. Barbarossa was enthroned in Ida's best armchair. "I don't know why you're making such an effort for that brat," whispered Victor. "Just look at how he's sitting there." "That's exactly why, so I can spare the merciful sisters from having to look after him. It might also help Prosper and Beau. I think Prosper still worried his aunt could change her mind about Beau. So let's give her..." She smiled at Barbarossa, who was watching her and Victor suspiciously. "Our little red locks." Ida dialed the number of the hotel where the Hartleeps had ended up. It took some time before Esther's voice came through.
"Ah, good morning, Signora Hartleep," said Ida. "This is Sister Ida from the Order of the Merciful Sisters. I'm calling because last night the police delivered your two nephews to our orphanage."
Ida paused and listened.
"Oh, really? But aren't you their legal guardian?"
Another pause.
"I understand. Yes, the children have told me a similar story. That is very sad, Signora. Of course, we look after your nephews. That is our mission, after all. But we still need you to come in to settle all the formalities."
"Yes, I'm afraid that it is absolutely necessary, Signora. Shall we say tomorrow afternoon at 3 o'clock? No, I'm afraid your presence is required. I will meet you in our town office in the Casa Spavento, Campo Santa Margherita, number 423. Ask for Sister Ida." "Yes." "Thank you, Signora Hartleep. Until tomorrow."